So welcome everyone to another Feldenkrais online lesson. I'm looking at this idea of self-image from lots of different perspectives. I've been looking at it from the notion of what we call exteroception, which is kind of having a sense of the space around you, your environment, and then proprioception, which is a sense of where you are in relationship to your limbs, the parts of yourself, and how you connect to that environment. And today I want to explore more the idea that takes us towards interoception, which is beginning to understand more about what's taking place inside of myself as I'm experiencing proprioception and exteroception, because we have the possibility of experiencing all of those things at the same time, not through our mental only process, but through sensation, through experience of the self. So one of the ways that we can access this relationship to self-image and understanding what's taking place inside of us more is to begin to identify and work with and hopefully eventually release what Moshe Feldenkrais called habitual anxiety patterns. And those are the sort of hidden tensions that I actually sometimes call them gremlins, that kind of live in our bodies and we don't even notice them anymore. And so today's lesson is the movements themselves will be very subtle, but the process, I hope, will be very rich. And I wanted to start with a little excerpt. I've been getting into finding these really cool excerpts from Feldenkrais's books to kind of set us on our journey today. This is from his book, The Potent Self, which I find so interesting. He wrote this book. It was the first book he wrote, I believe, after Body and Mature Behavior. But because it dealt with so many ideas that were unknown at the time, he actually didn't want to publish it. And it was actually published after his death. And I'm not sure whether he would have approved it or not. Some of his ideas were way ahead of where neuroscience was. But in this particular passage, he talks about these tensions in an interesting way. In the adult state, the expectation of intense sensation continues to provoke us into quickening of the pulse and all the other unpleasant reactions of the body in such cases. We fend ourselves thus against the exaggerated intensity of sensation, pleasant or unpleasant. What I find really interesting about this is that a few years ago, I read about a conference of pain doctors who got together to try to actually find a definition of pain. This is Lavinia talking now, not Moshe. And what they came up with was resistance to sensation. So I find that a really interesting idea because most of us think of sensation as, you know, hot, cold, whatever, but there are sensations that then cause us to react, just as Feldenkrais said here, that give us the perception of pain or create these tense reactions. So I'll continue here. When the expected sensation is unknown, untested, we tense our body sufficiently to be able to cope with it and to prepare for the greatest possible intensity. In this way, we learn to cope with most happenings in our life. The tested, familiar, and often repeated sensations become habitual. In the long run, we stop preparing for them. We do not tense our muscles more than necessary for the accomplishment of the intended action, and we do not hold our breath. But the sensations we have not learned to cope with, and those that we have learned improperly, and most important of all, the unexpected, untested sensations all continue to produce compulsive body tension. This tension is formed in the expectation of both intense pleasure or intense pain. In either case, the body is in a state of anxiety. This anxiety is present in all compulsive action, and it appears before we can do anything about it. So there's two levels here. There's the level of how we tense in expectation of different situations, but then also have some people hold a chronic level of different small tensions that occurred because, as he put it, we learned improperly. And so we're going to be looking at that a little bit today in a very subtle way. So today's lesson is working with very minimal movements while you're lying down. You're welcome to have your legs bent during most of the lesson. There will be times where I'll ask you to lengthen your legs. And if you choose to have your legs long, which is the way I'm going to be describing things, you're also welcome to rest by bending your legs or rolling to your side. So take care of yourself as we do this. It sounds silly to say take care of yourself when you're doing small movements, but sometimes those small movements really bring up other kinds of awarenesses. So starting with how you are right now, right? Starting with your exteroceptive sense, sensing how your back and the back of your legs, your head connect with the floor. And then how can you sense the ceiling above your head? Is there a kind of an awareness of, you know, just how far it is? And the same thing, sensing to the right of yourself. Can you have a clear feeling of what's to the right of you? What's the first object that your awareness is telling you about? And how can you sense that? And then the left side of yourself, kind of really reaching out and feeling your environment. And then bringing yourself more towards yourself, the sense of your arms in relationship to your trunk. Noticing how the two arms are lying. Are there any subtle differences? Palms towards the ceiling or turned over or mixed? The distance of your wrists from the floor? How your elbows are bent or not bent, the connection of your shoulder blades. And then going to your legs, sensing the space under your knees and where your calves connect, the direction that your toes are pointing, and the weight underneath your heels. Sensing the whole back of yourself, the lumbar spine, your ribs, the space between your ribs, between your shoulder blades, under your neck, the back of your head. Noticing your face and the quality of relaxation or activation in your face right now. And then just tuning into your breathing for a moment. What moves as you breathe, the length of your inhale and exhale, and how that breath moves through you. We've done lessons of exploring the five lines, what Feldenkrais called the five cardinal lines. Can you see those lines in yourself right now? Down your legs, down your arms, up the middle of yourself. And then turn your attention to your right arm. And just sense the weight of it, the volume of it, all the way from your fingers up to where the humerus joins the shoulder joint at the top. And how much space does your arm occupy? If you could imagine for a moment that your arm disappears, but just leaves kind of an impression in the air, how much of the air would be displaced by this arm? and then staying with a sensation of your whole arm, could you begin a movement of just, it's almost like a one-shouldered shrug, where you're starting to slide your right shoulder up in the direction of your right ear, and then slowly sliding it back down, staying connected with your hand. So it's almost as if you could say the hand is moving the arm upward right now. And as you're doing that movement of sliding your shoulder, your arm, and your hand up in the direction of your right ear, begin to sense what's happening at the top of your shoulder girdle and in your neck. As you're going up, you might find that there are little jumps and skips in the movement, especially if you go slow enough. There are maybe areas that you habitually like to hold when you're concentrating, when you're stressing, and so it'll skip in different areas as you go up. Notice what happens to your breath as you go up. Notice if on your way you find familiar spots. Oh yeah, I know this one. I know where I hang out here sometimes when I'm caught in traffic. And then the next time that your shoulder is up as high as it can go, just let it stay there for a moment and tune into your breathing, noticing what you feel in your clavicle, in the shoulder blade, and in your ribs, because your shoulders attach via your muscles that connect to your ribs, and then slowly, slowly bring that shoulder back down. And then just take a moment and sense what you're feeling in that whole area from the ear, the neck, the upper shoulder girdle area. And then continuing with your right shoulder now, could you begin raising that right shoulder up in the direction of the ceiling? And it's interesting, there's a number of different ways that you can do this. You know, again, what you're doing right now is the way you do it. So do you do it as if you were rounding a little bit and the front of you caving in, the collarbone and the ribs sinking down towards the chest, the shoulder blade kind of sliding forward? Or are you moving your shoulder forward as if the whole complex moves together, as if you're rotating that upper part of yourself, right? So even moving my shoulder has different nuances. Some of us, again, kind of live in an area where we round our shoulders, hunched over our devices, or protecting ourselves in certain moments of stress, where there's a caving in the chest. Some people rotate as if they're bringing themselves forward in the world. Notice how you do it. Notice your breath. And then the next time that the shoulder is up to the ceiling, just hold it there for a moment. Feel what you feel in the back of yourself, in the ribs, underneath the shoulder blade. And then once again, let your shoulder drop backward and rest. And now turn your attention to your shoulder blade. And can you begin pressing that shoulder blade backward into the floor? Noticing what part of your shoulder blade likes to press. And in this case, it's not about a slow movement, right? Because your shoulder blade's already there. So you're just kind of playing with pressure and sensing how as your shoulder blade presses backward, you maybe can explore different ways, different parts of your shoulder blade. And as you do that, noticing what you're feeling again in the top ribs, in the clavicle. You know, and culturally, we've been told that standing with your shoulders back is supposedly good posture. But also when we're startled, when we're frightened, when we're kind of in a alert, vigilant mode, the shoulder blades press backwards. Some people develop a chronic habit of pressing that shoulder blade backward, maybe even tightening in the neck. So hold that shoulder blade back for a moment and sense for a moment, is that a place that's familiar to you or unfamiliar? And then let it go and rest. And just take a moment to sense how this arm feels in comparison to the other arm. And then go to that left arm and notice its volume, its weight, its quality. It's always interesting, even if you identify as dyslexic, you can feel there's a difference between the two sides of yourself because your right brain is taking in all of that information. How do you sense that other side of yourself? And then begin sliding that left shoulder up in the direction of your left ear. And you'll notice right away, if you go slow enough, that this shoulder does it differently. Maybe this one doesn't go straight up. Maybe it goes straight up and wants to curl right away. Or maybe you feel something different in your left shoulder blade. As you continue doing this, let your attention travel. What do you feel in your ribs? Again, slow it down a little bit. Don't go too fast. Some of you are going quite quickly. Let it slow down. Breathe. And then the next time that your shoulder is up in the direction of your ear, just stay there, sensing that space, noticing what it does to your breath. Asking yourself, is this familiar? And then slowly lower it back down. I know some people have heard me say in the past that this oratory teacher from the 19th century, Francois del Sarte, used to call the shoulders the thermometers of the passions. That how we hold our shoulders and use our shoulders relates to the way we express our emotions. So go ahead and start lifting that left shoulder towards the ceiling and lowering it again slowly and checking in on that upper rib cage clavicle area. It's interesting that when you do that, are you exhaling or are you inhaling? Or is your breath random? Again, you can do it slowly. You don't have to go too quickly. Noticing as you lift that shoulder, is there a piece of your rib cage that feels heavier? And the next time that your shoulder is up towards the ceiling, leave it there. Stay with the breath. And then slowly let your shoulder come down. And then begin to press your left shoulder blade backward. As you're pressing your shoulder blade backward, can you let your arm stay relaxed, or does your arm have to press back? Which, by the way, is also connected to the startle fear response, right? We kind of, the arms go back as we press back. So feel what takes place in the front of you. And again, notice that when you press your shoulder back like that, how it influences your breathing. There's a different quality in the breath when your shoulders are pressed back. Notice what happens in the middle, in between your two shoulder blades. And then let that go and rest. And again, remember that you can rest in any way you want to when we're doing these kind of subtle movements. Don't feel like you have to stay in one position. Although those of you who just bent your legs, now we're going to do the legs. So straighten your legs. And you can let your legs be comfortably apart. They don't have to be close together here. Just sensing your two legs, turn your attention to that right leg, feeling its volume, its weight, how it compares to the other one. And so here we're going to, like when you were working with your shoulders, you were pretty much working what we call proximally, shrugging those shoulders. I'd like to start this one distally. Imagine that there's somebody down at the sole of your right foot, and they're pushing your straight leg up into your hip so that you feel, so the leg doesn't bend, but you start to feel that you know, the leg in the hip joint and maybe the pelvis starts to ride up a little bit in the direction of your right shoulder. Just feel that movement coming from above. Now, most of us don't do it from our feet, but many people have a habitual holding pattern of pulling up on one side of themselves for many different reasons, and we don't need to get into all of them. But one way to do it that's not like that is to squeeze the right butt cheek, or to just pull up in the hips so that the ribs on the right get a little shorter. So just play for a moment with creating that kind of constraint. Just like you had a little bit of constraint in the neck and shoulders, now you're shortening on your right side, right at that lumbar area. And just hold it for a moment and feel what that's like. And, you know, just think that so many people just tend to walk around like that as, again, a habitual postural choice, hiding a kind of tension, and then let it go and rest. And it's interesting, sometimes if you recognize that this is something that you do, that maybe you have chronic lower back pain, or you notice that, you know, you often notice that one arm is longer than the other. Just doing this can sometimes inform your nervous system in a way that helps it relax a little bit. So now try the same thing with your left leg, sensing the whole length of your left leg, starting with the foot pushing up into the hip joint, letting the left hip shorten. And again, here you'll notice that one side is different than the other side. Sometimes one side really bends easily and the other side doesn't. And again, that's information that tells you maybe something about your habit. And then feel free to work proximally, pulling in your hip, pulling in your buttocks, shortening that side. And just notice for a minute that as your left leg gets shorter, can you feel that your right leg gets a little longer? So go ahead and make that happen. As you shorten your left leg, lengthen your right leg. And then begin to alternate, almost as if someone's pushing one foot, then the other foot, and begin to feel how you could use this movement to inform the rib cage, the waist. You don't have to tense in your back. Instead, thinking almost as if you're using your legs to create almost a slither that softens the whole rest of yourself. And then pause a moment, just rest. And now, keeping your legs spread apart like that, could you bring your arms so that they're kind of a mirror of your legs, sort of like you would look like a big X, your arms kind of at a 45 degree angle? Now, if you have shoulder issues and you cannot go that high, please just go where you can rest your arms comfortably on the floor with your palms up. So more in the direction of the head, not towards the pelvis, because we're going to play with a little bit of movement of the whole self now. So now, could you begin a movement of lengthening your left arm along the trajectory that your arm is reaching? So, you know, obviously, if it's up in the direction of your head at a 45 degree angle there, you'll feel it kind of pulling your shoulder upward. If you're unable to do that and your arms are out to the side, just feel like you're reaching out to the side. And I just gave away the next thing. So I said lengthening, and so there was no emotional attachment to it. But now what if you turned it into the idea of reaching, as if you were reaching for something? Does that change how you do the movement? Can you turn your head to look towards whatever it is you're reaching for? And as you're doing the reaching, begin to pay attention to what's happening in your chest, in your ribs, in your breath. And now, what would happen if you were reaching for something that you really, really wanted? How does that change the quality of the reach? Notice what happens to your breath. And what would happen if you continue reaching, but you can't get it? You're not allowed to have it. I see a few tantrums already happening. Notice what happens to your breath. Now pause a moment, and we're going to add an element. When you resume reaching, could you think about the movement that you did with your legs before? And as you're reaching with your left arm, could you sense for yourself which leg might get shorter and which leg might get longer to help you reach toward that thing you want? Play for a moment and explore, right? You might want to just go back to doing your legs and feeling that movement of one leg getting longer, one leg getting shorter, and notice how it impacts on your arms, and maybe that'll give you an idea. And then pause a moment and begin to lengthen your right arm. And just play for yourself with varying degrees of desire. And, you know, sometimes we want something so badly that we actually get in our own way by working too hard. So it's kind of a simulation here, but it's an opportunity to just kind of feel what happens when I try too hard. What happens when I hold my breath or maybe clench my teeth as I'm trying to get to what I want? How do I interfere with myself? And then go ahead and add your leg helping you and let go of all that striving. Turning your head towards that arm, and now begin alternating. One time reaching one arm and shortening one leg, one time going the other way and feeling how that whole rib cage. Now you can feel how you can use the movement of shortening in your rib cage and in your hips to actually support you in getting what you want to do, getting what you want. And then let it go. Bring your arms slowly down and take a rest. And again, if you want to bend your legs while you're resting, please feel free to do so. And now once again, turn your attention to your right arm. And for a moment, I'd like you to imagine that the arm itself is hollow. You've got your skin, your kind of encapsulation, but the inside of you is space waiting to be filled. And could you picture, you can imagine anything you want, but starting at the top of your shoulder, something starts to flow down to fill the space of your arm. It could be light, it could be color, liquid, but really flowing down your entire arm all the way down to your fingertips, occupying every part of your arm, as if your arm is welcoming a flow that allows the cells on the skin to even expand a little bit more. You feel this energy, this flow moving through your entire arm, starting at the shoulder and just filling you up. And it might feel like it's rushing down. It might feel like it's swirling down. Feel how it expands outward. The forearm, the upper arm. And then do the same thing with the left arm. Starting at the top of the arm, begin to let something flow in there. Maybe it's like gold, crystals, sparkles, whatever you want, flowing down there. Notice as you exhale, that flow can increase down your arms, right? As we exhale, our cells respirate. So we have this opportunity to really feel how the cells can open up and receive this flow. It may feel different on the left than on the right. And then do the same thing with your right leg, noticing how the right leg responds. And of course, the right leg has much more mass to fill. And it's interesting sometimes when I'm flowing in this way, you might find that you come against dark areas, black spots, dense areas, where it doesn't want to go. Just notice that. Notice if you can get around it. Notice if it'll open up. And then try the same thing with your left leg. So that the whole four parts of yourself are embodied because of this awareness of the flow through your limbs. And then staying with that sensation of this flowing as you breathe, can you bend your legs and bring your feet to standing? And can you just once again raise and lower your right shoulder to the ceiling, just a couple of times. Raise and lower your right shoulder to the ceiling. And then pause with that. And a couple of times, just raise and lower your left hip to the ceiling. And just notice, as you know, you don't have to lift high, it's very small. As you lift your hip, does the chest go up or do you sink down? Right, we talked about that with the shoulder before. So now, can you picture that in the hollow right in front of your shoulder, sort of right below the clavicle area there, could you imagine that there's a heavy silver ball, small, resting there? And as you lift your shoulder, let your chest sink in and start rolling that imaginary ball across your rib cage to your left hip. So you're not picking, you're not popping it up, you're not throwing, you're not lifting your chest, but see if you can literally let that weight of that ball roll across you so that you soften all the way down until your left hip comes up a little bit. Your knees are bent here, it'll be a little bit easier. And then the ball rests in the hollow right by your left hip bone. And then can you lift that hip bone and send the ball back to rest in the crook of your shoulder? So you're kind of rolling yourself across this diagonal line, the same kind of diagonal line that you felt as you were reaching one way and reaching the other way. Notice your breath. Can you let the exhale support that kind of wave that moves through? And then pause a moment. And just leave the ball for a moment and just lift your right shoulder and your left hip so that you're rounding in the front. And then can you press your right shoulder and your left hip into the floor? So you're really feeling that diagonal line across yourself. And then pause and just bring that ball over to your left shoulder. And begin rolling that ball from your left shoulder down to your right hip. And then once it gets to your right hip, roll it back. And just notice, is it different on this side? Sometimes people find that on one side, there's like a gap or a break somewhere in the middle of the chest where they can't figure out how to get that ball across the barrier of themselves, right? So we're using right and left brain here a lot. Noticing if one side is easier than the other side, what you feel in your neck and your head. By the way, yeah, some people, when I taught this class the other day, found that their head just wanted to move with the ball. Please don't inhibit any part of yourself that wants to move to get that ball rolling. It's almost like, again, like you're slinking yourself on the floor. And then just let go of the ball and try having that movement of the left shoulder greeting the right hip and then moving away. So folding in and then unfolding, pressing your shoulder blade and your hip into the floor, and then finding how to press that diagonal line of your back into the floor. And then pause a moment and just sense those two diagonal lines in yourself and how they relate to each other now. And then could you begin lifting both shoulders and both hips, and then pressing both shoulders and sort of the back of your pelvis. It's really the back of your pelvis is pressing into the floor so that you're flexing, rounding, and extending. And as you do this movement, could you begin to allow your head and neck to relax? So a lot of times we talk about flexion as something tense, something that's holding us. But if I do flexion here and allow the chin to fall backwards and the neck to lengthen in the front, this flexion becomes more of a surrender. And as you arch your back, there's more of a possibility of opening, receiving, right? So play with flexing and extending and see if you can make this a soft movement versus a tense movement. Can you allow the tensions that we hold to let go? Remembering that we are 70% liquid. Can this become a liquid movement? Notice your emotions. Notice your thoughts. And then stretch out your legs and rest. Turn your attention to your trunk and sense the whole volume of the torso, the front of yourself, the back of yourself. And could you picture that this part of yourself is surrounded by a cylinder, a soft, permeable cylinder, just hovering around you. So you've had the sense of the distance of your chest from the ceiling. So now imagining this surface, just maybe an inch or two above where you perceive the boundary of your flesh. And then as you breathe, could you imagine this whole trunk expanding in all directions as if it wanted to meet this border? And as you're breathing and sensing, you don't have to force yourself, you don't have to push yourself, but you're just imagining that the boundary of yourself becomes a little bit softer and a little bit wider. And then same thing with your arms and legs, as if your arms and legs were enveloped in something that you want to expand outward to. And then staying with the sensation of your own largesse, could you play with moving your legs so that one leg gets shorter, one leg gets longer, one shoulder moves upward, one shoulder moves downward, just beginning to play with feeling like you're moving these enclosures with your chest, with your arms, with every part of yourself, letting your head roll, softening your face. And then just pause a moment and sense the quality of the way you are right now. And I want to take you into a way of working with your own personal challenges that might cause tension. So right now in this sort of very relaxed state, could you picture a situation or a challenge that you're working with right now? It could be a physical challenge, it could be an emotional stressor, it could be a decision that you're trying to make, whatever it is, something that just each time you come up against it, there's a level of tension in you. and try to picture the details of it clearly in front of you. And then as you're seeing it, can you see yourself in the situation? And sense for yourself, where is it that you want to grip? Do you feel like there's a tightening in the jaw that wants to happen, or a gripping in the buttock, or a holding of the breath? And just like we do in other movements where we support the habit, could you intentionally right now take those tensions, just begin to let yourself intentionally tense. And by the way, if you can't remember or you can't visualize it, just pick something right now. You can tense your toes or you can grip in your belly, wherever it feels like you want to tense right now. Odds are that's a place that you're familiar with. And then let it go. And look at your situation again. And see, can you look at that situation with different sensations now? Take a moment now to come back to your five lines, the sensation of yourself in contact with the floor, the areas where maybe you've created more space. And just to add one more element, because we didn't do it, and that is your skull and your face. So here, instead of imagining something around your head, could you go inside your head? And imagine that the inside of your head is a space, almost like a balloon or something, so that your head feels very light and you can allow the skin of your face to relax on the balloon. And as you breathe, feeling as if this balloon is pulsing inside the skull, creating a spaciousness there, allowing the face to relax around that space. And then staying with that sensation of your face, can you slowly roll to your side and come on up? And once you're standing, and there's no rush because everyone's in a different place, so take your time. But once you're standing, you know, if you can stand with your eyes closed, that's great. Just standing with your eyes closed and see if you can come back to that experience of the flow of something moving from your shoulder girdle down your arms, from your hips down your legs. So now you don't have the floor behind you, so you can feel how it can inhabit the whole back of you, flowing up into your skull. Knowing that you can access this anytime with just a simple mental reminder. And then open your eyes and take a walk around and just see what your world is like right now. What do you feel in the front of yourself, in the back of yourself? In the way you're going to approach whatever challenges you have today. And that's the end of today's lesson. Thank you very much.